Hello, and welcome to the Green Book Commentaries Podcast. I'm Dr. Arthur Plessa. Volume 14, Episode 36, Dr. Nell Williams remembers B.J. Palmer. Doctors of Chiropractic and student initiates, welcome back. For those just joining us, over the last few episodes, we have been detailing abnormal functions of a subluxation. We learned how a subluxation can interfere with nerve flow, affecting such functions as thermolysis, reproduction, and nutritive function, just to name a few. For today, we're going to take a short break from Volume 14 and do another bonus episode. Bonus episodes are fun and insightful segments where we learn about some of the big names in chiropractic and their stories. For this bonus episode, we are going to shine the spotlight on Dr. Nell Williams. Dr. Nell was the wife of Dr. Sid Williams, founder of Life College of Chiropractic. Being an alumni of Life University, this story really spoke to my heart. Dr. Nell recalls her time at the Palmer School of Chiropractic during the 1950s. She resided in an apartment directly across the street from the B.J. Palmer Research Clinic. Each morning, she would wake up early, about 5 a.m., so that she could watch B.J. Palmer walk from his mansion up on Brady Hill down to the research clinic. Dr. Nell would often enjoy sitting with B.J. and just listening to him talk, whether it was about chiropractic or another subject. Yet, the conversation would always track back to BJ's passion, the development of chiropractic. I could only imagine the excitement that Dr. Nell felt being able to have such conversations with the developer of chiropractic himself. It would be comparable to a student of physics being able to sit down with Isaac Newton and pick his brain. Looking at the picture of Dr. Nell sitting beside B.J. Palmer, one can sense her level of respect for him and all that she learned directly from the source. For those interested, I'll make sure to post this picture to our Facebook page at the Green Book Commentaries Podcast. So, if you haven't already, log into Facebook, enter the Green Book Commentaries Podcast, make sure to follow us. If you're a subluxation-based chiropractor, you've likely seen results with your patients in regards to visceral conditions, either improving or completely resolving. Such common conditions caused by subluxation include hypertension, asthma, constipation, diabetes, etc. While a subluxation can cause chronic health conditions as these, did you know that a subluxation can also cause acute health conditions to manifest, putting a person's life at risk? Dr. Nell recounts how chiropractic adjustments cured blood poisoning in a Palmer student. While student interns at the Palmer School, Drs. Nell and Sid Williams, being married, were not allowed to be clinic partners. So Sid's clinic partner, by the name of Gail Rutherford, had seriously injured his leg. The injury had quickly progressed and blood poisoning had set in. The medical doctor on staff at the Palmer School, along with some of the chiropractic faculty, went to Rutherford's apartment to check in and see how he was doing. When they saw how serious and life-threatening the injury had become, he was strongly urged to go to the hospital and receive emergency medical treatment. Rutherford politely declined, stating emphatically that he only wanted to receive chiropractic adjustments. So Drs. Nell and Sid Williams temporarily moved into the apartment next to Rutherford. Dr. Sid would get up many times throughout the night to check and adjust Rutherford. The blood poisoning would soon release, and his leg was completely healed. After seeing this miraculous recovery, the medical doctor dubbed Sid Williams as, quote, the last of the diehards, end quote. Dr. Nell tells how Dr. Sid and Rutherford were nearly expelled from the Palmer School for their behavior. However, it was through this life-changing experience that the resolve of Dr. Sid Williams took root. That root would grow deep, anchored to the principles of chiropractic, as it flourished into a large tree with many branches for future chiropractic students to perch upon, as they were developed into subluxation-based chiropractors. That fruitful tree was named Life College of Chiropractic. As a young chiropractic initiate at Life University, I really connected to subluxation-based chiropractic. In specific, as it was developed and applied by B.J. Palmer. By the end of my first year, I had managed to read Chiropractic Green Book, Volume 18, three times over, as its author recommends. After my first read-through, I was like, wow, does this really work at getting sick people well? Logically, it made sense. One cause, one cure, one specific adjustment. After my second read-through, my pisiforms burned with a desire to apply this technique to a subluxation within a person who was really sick. By the time I had finished Volume 18 for the third time, in my head and in my heart, I recognized this specific approach as law, of which I would never deviate from. This was an absolute truth, and innately, I recognized it as such. The only problem, I still had another 6 months before becoming a student intern at the clinic. I felt like a child who had discovered his wrapped Christmas present hidden deep in the closet. I knew what it was, and I knew what I wanted to do with it. However, the time had not yet arrived for me to open it up. The hour has arrived. I had begun as a student intern in the outpatient clinic. My very first patient was quite an experience for myself, as well as for my clinic advisor and head doctor of the outpatient clinic. The patient's name was John. He was in his early 40s and had become very sick over the last year. When I had first met him, he looked extremely ill, pale skin, facial bones protruding, and his eyes were sunken into the back of his head, with a dark ring around them. I was taken back at first, but remained my professional composure. My clinic advisor was sitting next to John in the exam room and motioned for me to sit down so we could discuss his case. After reviewing his medical history and glancing over the paperwork of medical tests he had received, I began to understand the seriousness of this patient's condition. I saw tests filed under the year of 2007. The blood work had tested John's T-cell count four times throughout that year. In January, it read a T-cell count of 400 units. In March, it dropped down to low 300s. In August, it was further depleted down to the mid-200s. By November, John's T-cell count was around the 120s. Now, a normal T-cell count ranges somewhere between 500 to 1,500 units. Anything less than 500 indicates poor immune function. Anything less than 200 units is indicative of AIDS. John believed that he had contracted AIDS from his partner sometime back in 2006. He said that he had felt a slow yet steady decline in his health ever since, and just could not shake off when he had gotten a cold or a flu. John said it was one infection after another that the medical doctors were just not able to treat. It was then in 2007 that his medical doctor suspected AIDS and ordered the test to confirm. John had begun AIDS treatment but had gotten even more sick from the medication. With follow-up blood work confirming his T-cell count was dropping, the medical doctors released John from treatment and advised him to get his final affairs in order, as he was given only 6 months to live. So, after reviewing his medical history, my clinic advisor asked if I felt comfortable providing chiropractic adjustments for John. With a strong resolve, I nodded my head yes. Looking into John's eyes, I firmly shook his hand and said, "If there's one hope left, then surely it begins with a specific adjustment." Tears began to fill his eyes as he sobbed, saying to me, "That's the most hope I've ever been given. Thank you, Arthur." I spent that entire afternoon running Titron thermal scans on John's cervical spine to see what his subluxation heat pattern looked like. I had also managed to secure the final patient slot in the radiography department. After we finished with John that afternoon, I stayed in the outpatient clinic computer room to analyze his cervical x-rays for the causative subluxation. I must have been there for hours, burning these x-rays into my brain. Student after student, one after the other, had left and gone home for the afternoon, until I was the only one left. It was dark outside, and the lights in the outpatient clinic were turning off one after the other. One of the clinic staff walked in and told me that the clinic was closing and that I had to leave. I quickly snapped a picture of the x-rays with my phone, went back to my apartment, and continued to study them until I fell asleep. The next morning, I arrived at the clinic for the 9 a.m. appointment that John had scheduled with me. I reviewed John's x-rays with him, pointing to the atlas subluxation as the cause why his body had gotten so sick. John said, "What do we have to do to fix this and get me well?" I motioned to the Kale knee chest upper cervical table and demonstrated how to set himself in the adjusting position. John proceeded to kneel down in the palmar posture and turned his head right. I took contact upon Atlas and quickly delivered the adjustment with enough depth so it would innately recoil and set. John took a deep breath of relief after and was escorted to a room that had a full spine table for him to rest in the supine position. 45 minutes later, I got him up and rechecked him. Much to my surprise, the thermal scan had revealed a 100% reduction in the subluxation. I would continue to check and adjust John over the next 12 weeks. By the end of week 1, his chronic fever had broke. After week 4, his appetite had returned, so much that he was able to eat and replenish his starved appearance. After week 12, John had begun to look completely normal and healthy. With excitement, he put some papers in my hand during our last visit, showing his updated blood work. It read the following, quote, "T-cell count, 1,100, end quote. As I took a moment to let that sink in, my eyes glanced to the bottom of the report, which read, quote, 2007, HIV positive. Then, directly it read, underneath, quote, May 2008, HIV undetectable, end quote. I would go on to graduate later on in that year of December 2008. After the ceremonies had concluded, I joined my family for the dining reception in the gym where assemblies were held each week. I look around and see my patient John walking towards me. He gives me a big hug, congratulates me, and puts a sports trading card in my hand. Now, John was an avid golfer before he had gotten sick. Each week that I would see him at the clinic, he would bring his collection of sports memorabilia and rare collector's items to share with me. Among it all, his most prized valuable was a 1996 Tiger Woods rookie card. In 2008, he said it had a value around $25,000. I began to shake my head in a respectful no, as I knew what this card meant to him, as well as the large amount of money he had spent buying it. He firmly said to me, "Yes, you can, and yes, you will accept this." Tears began to pour from his eyes, and he said, "Your adjustment is the reason I am alive today. What you did for me, go and do for others." We now begin our reading. Dr. Nell K. Williams remembers B.J. Palmer. While a student at Palmer School of Chiropractic, Dr. Nell K. Williams often visited with B.J. Palmer during his morning walks. Dr. Nell remembers B.J. would walk from his mansion on Brady Hill to the Palmer Research Clinic. "Our apartment was right across the street, and I could see him every morning. I loved to go down and walk with him and listen to what he had to say." Arriving at the gardens beside the clinic, B.J. and Dr. Nell would often sit under the grape arbor together, and she would listen as he talked about whatever was on his mind that day. "I would never interrupt B.J.," she recalls. "I think he liked having someone there just to listen to him." Of course, the favorite topic was chiropractic. Often, however, B.J. would tell his young friend about his experiences in far-off places. During this time, B.J. spent most of the year traveling or at his home in Sarasota, Florida. But he would visit Davenport in the summer. Dr. Nell and her husband, Dr. Sid Williams, purchased the Sarasota home after B.J.'s death and have since restored it. The home is now the B.J. Palmer Memorial Museum, and it houses a fascinating display of intriguing mementos of Dr. Palmer. Dr. Sid and Nell have also purchased and restored B.J.'s Cadillac. Dr. Nell remembers the excitement of the day on which the Cadillac was presented to B.J. by his friends and admirers. Memories of the Lyceum festivities. August in Davenport was filled with activities as the annual homecoming or Lyceum approached. B.J. and Dr. Nell are pictured enjoying the students' picnic, which was held each year at Fairbury Park. "I always admired how at Lyceum he had Marge Minot run across the stage and play the organ so artistically. B.J. used to tell me that I reminded him of his little Margie," Dr. Nell remembers. One of the greatest honors a student could achieve while attending Palmer School of Chiropractic was to be invited to observe in the Palmer Research Clinic. The students did not actually adjust patients, but they were allowed to view examination and treatment procedures by the staff doctors. Dr. Nell K. Williams, seated fourth from left in the photo on the opposite page, is among the honor students pictured in the front of BJ's impressive knife and saber collection. Patients would come from all over the world to be cared for at the Palmer Clinic, Dr. Nell recalls. Often, the cases, diagnosed as hopeless by the allopaths, would become chiropractic success stories. Chiropractic adjustment cures blood poisoning. Each student had a clinic partner or doctor recipient while at Palmer. Husbands and wives were not allowed to be partners, and Dr. Nell's husband, Sid, was partner to Gail Rutherford. During their internship, Gail injured his leg seriously, and blood poisoning set in. Dr. Andrews, the medical doctor at Palmer, Dean Hender, and other members of the faculty went to Gail's apartment to see how he was doing. Knowing that the student's life was in danger, the visitors insisted that he be taken to the hospital and put on medication. Gail was firm in his beliefs and, refusing their instructions, agreed to be treated by chiropractic adjustment only. Dr. Nell explains that she and Dr. Sid temporarily moved in with fellow student Roy Mitchell, who lived across the hall from Gail. Sometimes Dr. Sid would get up several times during the night to adjust Gail, she says. When the poison finally released, it sounded like a bullet being shot from a gun. Soon after, the leg was completely healed. At this point, Dr. Andrews dubbed Sid Williams, quote, the last of the diehards, end quote. He and Gail were nearly kicked out of school for their behavior, but the young doctor's experience strengthened their belief in the power of the chiropractic adjustment to allow the innate life force to establish total health within the body. The tradition continues. This belief continues to be the philosophical cornerstone in the lives of Dr. Sid Williams, founder and president of Life College, and Dr. Nell Williams, senior vice president of student affairs. Dr. Sid explains, BJ always said, build a better mousetrap, and we have. Life College has more land, a bigger faculty, and a larger student enrollment than any other chiropractic college. We are proud of what Innate has given us to achieve. We have just begun. Thank you for joining me for another episode. I'm Dr. Arthur Plessa. This has been the Green Book Commentaries Podcast.